So I used to watch this show when I was a kid called The Red Green Show. Very obscure show, but he had this saying that he would often recite in the middle of the show or at the end of the show, and it went something like this. He said, if the ladies don't find you handsome, at least they'll find you handy. It was this whole play on, like, I'm going to try to teach you just how to do some fundamental basic things. And I've never considered myself to be either, frankly, handsome or handy. Because the reality is, for me, when I want to fix something, do you know what I go to most of the time? Duct tape. That's my go-to. Not my toolbox. Duct tape. Because in my mind, here's how I see it. If it works, then we're good to go. It doesn't really matter how it looks. If it works, if it's functioning, then it's good to go. But here's the problem with duct tape, right? Like, duct tape only lasts for so long. It's not a permanent fix. No, if you really want to fix something right, if you want to fix something well, you got to go to the right tools, right? Now, here's the problem for me. I'm not real handy. I have some tools. I don't have a lot of tools. And half the time, I don't really know what the tools do. Maybe you're like me, or maybe not, right? I don't know what the difference is, or maybe I'm learning, I'm getting better, but there was a time I didn't know what the difference was between a socket wrench and an Allen wrench and a crescent wrench. I know what a crescent roll is. They're delicious. But the tools in my toolbox, I don't know. I don't know what half of these things do. I don't know the right tool to use for this specific project, this specific problem that I'm trying to fix. And if you're like me, here's really the issue. When I go to my toolbox, I'm not very organized in my toolbox. Maybe your toolboxes look like this. I go to my toolbox and they're just scattered everywhere in there. Sometimes they're not even in the toolbox because I used it and I was lazy and I just threw it in the junk drawer. You have one of those in your kitchen, right? Like, there's three screwdrivers in there, one of those different types of wrenches, maybe an old crescent roll, I don't know, right? And we go to get those tools and then we can't find them. And this is what happens to me. It makes me have to, like, the job that I'm doing, it makes it take so much longer, right? Because I go to find that screwdriver or that wrench that I need, and I come back upstairs to fix the problem, and I realize, nope, that's not the right size. Nope, I needed a Phillips head, not a flathead screwdriver, right? And so what do? I go back downstairs, I rummage around in my three different toolboxes that aren't organized, I find one that I think might work, I come back upstairs. And I've learned this over time. I'm not real bright, okay? I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer sometimes. Bring the toolbox upstairs with you. Like, does anybody else do this? Walk downstairs, grab the one tool that you think you need, come all the way back upstairs. It doesn't work. Walk all the way back. Dude, the toolbox is designed so that you can carry it with you wherever you go, right? Again, not too bright sometimes. See, we have been in this series now for 2 weeks. We started it last week, called Winning the War on Worry. We're talking about winning the war on the worry that I think consumes so many of us. We are living in a culture, we are living in a time where anxiety and worry seem like they are higher, greater, more prevalent than ever, right? And we talked about this last week. What's so crazy about that is we are also living in the most affluent and comfortable culture in society that we have ever lived in, right? And so in many ways, it doesn't make sense. Why are we so anxious? Why are we so worried? And so last week, we looked at what I would consider to be the foundational passage in the Word of God on this topic of worry, spoken by the man himself, Jesus Christ, right? We looked at this passage in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus challenges us. He comes right out and says it. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, do not worry. Worry about nothing, right? Don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you will eat, what you will wear, right? And instead, this is what he says. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, this is the problem inside of all of us. And I want to encourage you, if you missed week one, go subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast, listen to the first week because it really is so foundational for the entire rest of this series and what we're going to talk about. If we don't understand the heart of the issue, the core of the issue, what we're gonna talk about today and moving forward isn't gonna matter a whole lot. You see, we have a desire issue, each one of us, right? And the reason that we worry is that we desire things in this life, and when we don't get them or we don't think we're gonna get them, this fear starts to creep in, this anxiety, this worry starts to creep in to our thought life, to our hearts, right? And so what Jesus says is this: you need to set your heart on something else. If you really want to eliminate worry from your life, you got to stop thinking and worrying and focusing on the things in this life that you think are going to bring you peace and contentment and joy. And you got to start focusing on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do that, you will begin to experience this peace, right? But today, as we move into week two, that's all good. And I'm just going to be as transparent and real with you as I can. I know that. I understand that. But every day, it is still a battle. Come on now. Anybody else? Like, you can know that. You can understand it in your heart, but you still need tools to deal with the day-to-day battle that you are facing when it comes to worry. And so let's go back to the analogy now. You're probably wondering, why in the world did he tell the toolbox story at the beginning? Where was that going? This is my point. If we are gonna fight this battle on a day-to-day basis of worry, if we're really going to be able to handle the onslaught of worry that comes at us day after day after day, we gotta have the right tools, first of all. We gotta know what those tools are. And praise God, he has given us some tools, godly tools to handle worry on a day-to-day basis. We need to know that there are tools, first of all, right? We need to know where the toolbox is. And then we need to be ready to use those tools at a moment's notice. We can't be stumbling around in our garage hoping to find them. We gotta know exactly where they are at all times. It's gotta be like a knee-jerk reaction. Because for me, when that worry hits, I've only got a few moments, a few seconds, a few minutes maybe, to grab that tool and say, okay, I'm not gonna let this thing begin to take over in my mind, in my heart, and in my spirit. And so this is where we're going today. I want to get practical today on this issue of worry. I wanna provide you guys with a toolbox, with some tools that you can actually use in this fight against worry. Today we're gonna be in the book of Philippians. And if Jesus' passage in Luke chapter 12 and in Matthew chapter 6 are kind of the foundation, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, gives us what I think is probably the second most important, biggest writing on worry and anxiety in Scripture. Now, before we even jump into the text today, this is so important to understand. I know I tell you guys this a lot, but context matters so much. And so Paul's writing this letter, and this is vitally important. He's writing this letter from prison. He is shackled. Not only is he in prison, he knows that there is a very good chance that he is going to be put to death. He's essentially on death row. He's going to be put to death for his belief and his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul writes these words, this is so important to me at least. There's an incredible amount of credibility here, because this isn't a man who has everything going for him right now. This isn't a man who, has got the world by the tail. He's literally sitting in a prison cell awaiting to be executed. And yet these are the words that he writes. And they are powerful, and they would be life-changing for us if we would heed them and allow them to just infiltrate every moment of our day. Let's dig into this together this morning. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. This is what Paul says. Remember, he's sitting in a prison cell. I want you to just imagine him sitting there as he's writing this. "Do not be anxious about anything," he says. Let me just stop right there for a second. Do not be anxious about what? Some things? Anything. Most things? Anything. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything. He says, but in every situation. Which situations? Every, right? Not some, not most. He says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He says, do not be anxious about anything, absolutely nothing. There is nothing in this life that we should be worried about. Instead, what does he say? Pray. Do not be anxious, but pray. And I have to point this out. This is so important. How does he say to pray? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do not be worried about anything, but pray with thanksgiving. This is the cure for worry. Praying with thanksgiving. Praising God in the midst of our worry and our anxiety. See, this is the truth today. When you are thankful, when you are grateful for what God has given you, it is very difficult to be anxious and worried about what he has not. Let me say that again. When you are grateful, when you are thankful, when you are praising him for the good that he has done in your life, and he has done some good things, no matter how difficult life might feel right now, he has done some good things for you. If nothing else, if you are a believer, he has sent Christ into this world for you to pay the penalty for your sin so that you can live in eternity with him forever. That is a good thing. That is an important thing for us to be reminded of and be thankful of on a daily basis, right? When you are thankful for the good things that God has done for you in your life, it makes it incredibly difficult to be anxious or worried about what he hasn't. And so what Paul is saying here is we need to be prayerfully thanking God for the good things in our life, focusing on what he has done for us, not about what he hasn't, not about what we don't have. See, this is what prayer, thankful prayer does. It brings a release of worry by causing us to focus on the good. I love this verse. This is another one of Paul's writings from Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that God is good. His word tells us. This is the truth. He is a good God. And he says, for those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose, he is going to do good things. That doesn't mean that he's going to work everything out the way that you want it to. It doesn't mean health and wealth and prosperity all the time. What it means is that he is doing a good work in us. He wants to provide us with good things, salvation, his joy, his peace, his contentment, right? Those are the good things of God. And he says, for those according to his purpose. What did we talk about last week? What was the primary focus of our message last week? Seek first his kingdom. If you will seek his will, if you will seek his purpose, he's got good things in store for us. So this is the first thing that we need to understand about our toolbox that we have at our disposal. The first tool, praying with thanksgiving. Thankfully praising God. When we pray with thanksgiving, then he makes this promise. And I love this. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you will pray in every situation with thanksgiving, if you will present those requests to God, he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that word, transcends. This is not a peace that can be achieved by human effort. It is a supernatural peace that only comes through relationship with our Heavenly Father. That word transcends, it means to go beyond. It goes beyond anything that we can imagine, regardless of our situation or circumstance. He says, I will provide you with a peace that surpasses, right? That's another word to describe transcends, that surpasses our understanding. Have you ever been in a moment where you should be worried, you should be anxious, And you're not. If you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's mind-blowing. It doesn't make any sense. I should be freaking out right now, and yet I'm not. If you've ever experienced that, that's what we're after in everything. We're after that. And if you haven't experienced that, I'm telling you, it's amazing. It is an incredible and beautiful thing to have that kind of peace. Christ offers this. Our Heavenly Father offers this to us. This is the promise that he makes to us. That word, guard your heart, I love this too. He says it will guard your heart. That word guard in the original language that this was written in was the word phrureo. Come on, say it with me. Phrureo, that's a fun word to say. It's the word phrureo. It's a military term. And it brings this imagery of a soldier standing in front of a gate saying, you're not getting through here. I'm on guard right now, and there is nothing that you can do to get through this barricade that I have set up right here. And so the imagery is this. Whatever anxiety you have, whatever worry you feel like you are dealing with, I'm on guard. Your Heavenly Father is on guard. The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you, if you are a follower of Christ, is on guard. He says, I will not let this worry take hold. I will not let it destroy you. I will not let it consume your day. I will give you a peace to guard your heart and your spirits. This is the first tool in the toolbox. Pray with thanksgiving and allow the peace of God to guard your heart against the attack of that worry. But then, secondly, he goes on. He doesn't end there, and I love this because now he gets super, super practical. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. Think about such things. Let me say it again. Think about such things. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, there it is again, will be with you. See, I believe scripture makes it very, very, very clear that our thoughts, the things that go on in our mind, are unbelievably powerful and important. Makes it so clear that we are the product, if you will, of our thoughts. I love the way that Proverbs 23 puts it. He says, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. As we think, how we think, the thoughts that are going on in our mind regularly will determine the outflow of who we are. Right? Our thoughts are unbelievably powerful. Craig Groeschel puts it this way. He says, your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That's something to marinate on for a little bit today. Your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thoughts, whatever they happen to be. That is the direction that you will head. And I think the biggest misconception about worry is this, right? Is that, and maybe you've had somebody say this to you before. I've had someone say it to me before. Just stop thinking about it. Well, thanks, Sherlock. If I could just stop thinking about it, I would. Thank you very much. Right? It doesn't work like that. And here's why. We have to understand how God has wired us. He has wired us to think. He wants us thinking. Right? Think back to our message from last week. What did Jesus instruct us to do? Think about the birds. They don't reap or sow. Right? Think about the flowers in the field, right? They want for nothing, and yet they are clothed more splendidly than Solomon himself. Think, he says. right? In order for us to really understand who God is, in order for us to come to faith, there has to be thinking, right? We are designed, we are created as human beings to think, to have thoughts. The problem is not thinking. And I want you to write this down today because I believe this is a powerful quote. Worry is not the result of too much thinking. It is the result of too much thinking in the wrong direction. Let me say it again. Worry is not the result of too much thinking. It is the result of too much thinking in the wrong direction. It is a constant battle. Come on, I know. This is all of us on a daily basis. It is a constant battle, isn't it? To keep our thoughts moving in the right direction. I think of it like going bowling. I'm not a very good bowler. Most of the time, I'm in the gutter. So I love it when they put those little bumpers up. And I know, it's like, okay, those are supposed to be for kids. Yeah, well, I'm a bad bowler and I need them, all right? When the bumpers are up, what happens? Ball doesn't go in the gutter. Stay straight, right? Or at least relatively straight, right? You're gonna at least hit some pins. We have to set up bumpers in our thinking, in our thought life, in the processes of how we think so that we keep those thoughts moving in the right direction. The fact of the matter is that we were created to think. We are going to think about something. To say, don't think about it, isn't going to work. What we have to do is we have to retrain our brains to think on the right things. This is what Paul is telling us. We want to stop worrying. We have to replace those thoughts. You can't just stop thinking about it. I'm going to go scientific on you here just for a second. And I love doing this because we're living in a culture, we're living in a world that it feels to me like science and God, biology and God, it's like they're opposed to each other. Nothing could be more false. God himself created scientific processes, created our bodies, created biology, created the world, right? In our brains, our unbelievable, amazing brains that God has created. And boy, if you study this out more, it's just the more I look at it, the more I go, I don't know how anyone could believe that there's not a God. There's this part in the back of our brains called the amygdala. And what the amygdala does is it's, to put it in the simplest terms, it's our fight or flight response, right? And so something happens to us that causes us to have fear. That's the amygdala telling us run or fight, but you need to have some kind of reaction right now. It's more of the reactionary kind of emotional side of our brain. And then there's this part in the front called the prefrontal cortex. And this is the decision-making part of the brain. And what I want you to hear today is this, is that part of the brain can be trained. Right? It can be trained to make the right decision, to think on things the right way. And so when Paul tells us that we need to think on these things, what he's saying is stop thinking about the things that are going to create this bad response, this bad reaction in your brain, and retrain your brain to think on the right things. I love this quote from Arthur Summers Roe. She says, "Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." This is what worry does. It creates this channel, like water running over a rock for thousands of years, slowly chiseling that out, and eventually all that water just starts running into there. And this is what happens with our amygdala, right? The more we let that be the thing that just controls our thought process, everything just starts to flow into there. We have to create a blockage so that stuff doesn't go down that track, and we have to create a new track. We have to retrain the brain to think on the right things. What are those things? Paul tells us. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think on these things. Whatever is true, what is true? God's word. That is what's true. That is the only thing we have that is foundationally true. We need to read it. We need to know it so we can access it. When those thoughts of worry come, we need to be able to grab the word of God and say, no, this is what's true. I have no reason to worry or fear because I know who my God is. I understand what's true. He says, think on what is honorable. The Greek word here is semnos. It is a life of worship. That's what semnos means. It is worshiping, honoring God, praising him for who he is. We need to be thinking about his goodness, his faithfulness. We need to be worshiping him. That's where our thoughts need to be, on him. On what is right, he says. Another Greek word, dikaios. It means obedience. It's obedience to his law, obedience to his word. We need to be thinking about, how can I be obedient to you today? We're retraining our brain to think on those things. Think on what is pure, he says. The word again is hagnos. It's another Greek word. Staying away from sin, that's what it means. I don't know about you, but for me, oftentimes, a lot of my anxiety comes from another sin in my life. Worry is one of those weird sins where it's like it comes out a lot of times from another sin. And so I've got something going on in my life. I know I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then I start worrying about that. He says, focus on what's pure. What's pure, what's good, what's righteous. Stay away from sin. He says, focus on what's lovely. Prosphiles is the word that's used there. It means to be graciously patient before God. How many of us, when we start to feel the worry creep in, focus on being patient? Not me. That's the opposite of what I usually do. I start focusing on, how can I make this end as quickly as possible? How can I get whatever it is that I'm worrying about as quickly as possible? He says, no, retrain your brain. Think on what is lovely. Be graciously patient before God. What is admirable, he says. Euphemos comes from the root word of that word, euphoria. And it means to think on the higher things of God. To keep your eyes, your mind, your heart on what? Set on things above, right? Back to what Jesus said last week. Set your heart on things above, on the kingdom, on his righteousness. Focus your mind on the things of God. This is one of the most important tools in the toolbox. We must move our thought life from the worry and the anxiousness and the fear and retrain our brain to put it on the things of God. I love this verse from Romans 8:5. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. For those of us who are in Christ, who Christ has changed, for those of us who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, he says, we no longer think about the things of the flesh. We're not worried about those things anymore. We are going to put our minds, we're going to put our thought life on the things of God. Paul says, put this into practice. Repeat it regularly. Follow my lead. Do what I have done. Remember where he's sitting when he writes this. I'm going to come back to that for a second. He's sitting in a jail cell, awaiting execution. And where's his thought life? There's actually an account where Paul is in a prison. It's found in Acts chapter 16. And he starts singing and praising God in the middle of this jail cell. His thoughts are completely on the Lord. His thought life is on what's good, what's pure, what's right, what's holy. And in the middle of that jail cell, the chains, literally, the jail cell begins to shake and rumble, and those chains, they literally fall off of him in the middle of that moment. This is a man, again, who gets it, who doesn't just tell us this in theory. He tells us this in practicality. I have seen it. I know that it works. Go to that toolbox every single time, he says. Put your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Watch how your worry starts to fade away. Guys, the war on worry is going to be won in our mind. It's going to be won in our mind. I believe it starts in our heart. It starts with what we desire, as we talked about last week. But the day-to-day battle, the day-to-day struggle right here, it's going to be won or lost in our mind. We must be ready. We must retrain our brain. And so I want to make this as practical today as I possibly can as we get ready to close this out. We all have certain triggers and responses, don't we? If you think about it, we have certain triggers, certain things that we gravitate to and worry about. For some, it's money. For some, it's their relationships. For some, it's their job or their career or how they're viewed by other people. I mean, we could go on and on, right? Each of you right now is probably thinking of something, right? We all have a trigger that causes us to want to worry about things. And then we all have a response, right? That we go to, that we've kind of trained our brain to go to. I think a lot of times we do it without even knowing, without even thinking about it. For me, I clean. I know when I'm stressed, when I'm feeling anxious, because I go straight for underneath the sink for the Windex, and I start just cleaning off all the little marks on all the windows. And once it's clean, it just gives me that nice little warm fuzzy inside. Ah, that's better. For you, I don't know. Maybe it's exercise, because that's another one for me. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling worried. I need to get out and run as hard as I possibly can. Right? And there are more negative ones, right? We can go into our hole, so to speak. We can start pacing, right? We can get irritable. That happens to me a lot. I get anxious. I get worried. I actually start to get irritable around other people, right? We have our trigger, and we have our response. The problem with those things, with those responses, is they're temporary solutions. They're not really addressing the problem. They're masking it for a second. They might deal with it for a moment, but they're not really going to take care of it. Right? We have to face it head on. We can't ignore it. We can't just say, I'm not going to think about it. Wish it away. Hope that eventually it'll just go away. That's not how it works. We got to go to our toolbox. What is the toolbox? What are the two things in that toolbox that I want you to walk away with today? Number one, pray. I know it sounds so simple. Well, of course, Justin's going to tell us to pray. I mean, we're in church, right? That's what you do. You should be praying. But I want to challenge you to maybe do it a little bit differently than you've ever done it before. When you feel the worry coming on, when you feel that anxiousness coming on, I want you to pray with thanksgiving. I made up a word, I don't know, it was a while back, called praise, P-R-A-Y-S-E. And some of you may remember this. It's prayer with praise. It's prayer with thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to praise every time you start to feel the worry coming in. No, I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna say, God, I am so thankful. I know I am being tempted right now to be afraid of whatever this situation I am in. But right now, God, I'm going to praise you because you are good. You are faithful. You have given me so much. I thank you today for my life that you've even put breath in my lungs. I thank you for my family today, for my wife and my son. I thank you for the church that you have given me an opportunity to lead. I thank you for the health in my body at this very moment. God, you are so good. You are so faithful. Why should I ever doubt that you are not good, that you will not take care of me? And you will be amazed when you begin to do that, how that worry will just dissipate. Praise him when the worry comes on. That is your first tool. Know where it is at all times. Do not be like me in my garage, fumbling around when the worry hits. You gotta be able to grab it immediately. The second you start feeling it come on, begin to praise him. Thank you, God, for whatever. Fill in the blank. And then second of all, your second tool, think. Think on these things, on what is true, honorable, right, et cetera, think on what is good. Do not give those negative thoughts a pathway in your brain to create that channel where you just automatically go to it. Think about the good things of God. Think about what is true. Think about His word. For me, one of the best ways to combat my worry is to immediately begin to just say scripture. Go to the verses that I know, that I've buried deep in my heart, that remind me of who He is. This is why we talk about this a lot around here. Getting into the Word of God daily on your own is so powerful. You need it. We all need it. We need the Word of God buried deep in our heart and our soul for those moments when that worry and anxiety attacks, so that we know what's true, so that we can combat the lie. Do not give it a foothold. I love this quote by Jay Adams. He says, whenever you catch your mind wandering back into the forbidden territory, and you can be sure that it will, more frequently at first, until you retrain and discipline it. Change the direction of your thought. Do not allow yourself one conscious moment of such a thought. Instead, crisply ask God to help you refocus upon those things that fit into Paul's list. Our brains are not going to just stop thinking about the things that we worry about. We have to refocus our thought life on the things of God. You want to win the war on worry? It starts in your mind. You want to win the war on worry? It starts with understanding the toolbox, the God-given toolbox that He has given you. He says, I promise you, if you will pray with thanksgiving, if you will put your mind, if you will put your thought life on the things of God, that I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, that transcends every situation, every circumstance that you find yourself in. Today, if you are a Jesus follower, if you have Christ in your heart, if you have a relationship with Him, this is the promise that He makes to us. And when He makes a promise, He always comes through on it. He does not break promises. And so today I want to encourage you. If you know Christ, make this a part of your daily life. Make it the habit of your life. Begin to retrain your brain away from worrying, from being anxious. Begin to retrain your thought life and put it on His word, His truth, His promises, His goodness, His faithfulness. And today, if you are in a place where Christ has never been real to you, you've never really fully understood the gospel, this is the gospel today. That even though we may struggle with things in this life, all kinds of sin, we make bad choices, bad mistakes, we do things to dishonor God. He says, there's grace for that if you will come to me, if you will surrender your life to me, if you will admit you need help, you're a sinner, I'm broken. We've all been there, every one of us. And so from this point forward, I submit my life to you. And He will begin to work on those thoughts, to work on your thought life, to help you move in the right direction. That's my hope and my prayer for all of us today. For those who are in Christ, that you would rely on His word and His truth. Put your thoughts on Him. And if you today have never done that, that's the first step. Put your eyes on Christ. Begin that relationship. Begin that journey with Him. We would love to have a conversation with you here about that. It has changed my life. And yes, there are days when I still struggle with anxiety and worry. And my thought life gets consumed with things that it shouldn't. But at the end of every day, I know I know that I'm covered by his grace. And that's the last thing I want to say to you today. And we're gonna listen to a song here as we close. We're gonna do something a little bit different. But I know that that can weigh heavy on us, can't it? Like, I want to stop worrying. I don't want to be anxious. I know that I shouldn't. And I think for many of us, especially if we've been Christians for a long time and we know what we just talked about, we can beat ourselves up real badly. And today, maybe for you, it's just resting in his grace and knowing, okay, God, I'm going to do everything I can to follow you and to do what you've called me to do, to be obedient to you, but thank you so much for covering me when I don't. That's freedom, I'm telling you right now. That's the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. We need him so badly. So the band's gonna sing a song here, and I'm gonna ask you to actually stay seated and just listen to these words. And whatever worry you have on your heart this morning, whatever anxiety you may have carried into this place, would you just begin to praise him in your heart, from your heart to his, from your mind to his? Would you begin to thank him for the good things that he has done in your life? Would you begin to put your thought life on him? Let's put this into practice this morning for just 5 minutes. Just a deep breath in God's presence right now. Because what I want for you is I want you to walk out of this place and I want you to begin to feel the weight and the burden of whatever that worry is just fall off. Today, my prayer for you is a worry-free life. And I know that that can feel almost impossible. But what if it's not? What if through his power, through the changing of our mind, the changing of our thought life, it is possible? Listen to the words of this song.
Lord, you are good all the time. You always seem to blow my mind. And just when I thought you'd been more than enough, you do one more thing to blow my mind. Lord, you are good all the time. You always seem to blow my mind. And just when I thought you've done more than enough, you do one more thing to blow my mind. 'Cause that is what you do. You keep on coming through. That is what you do. You keep on coming through. That is what you do. You keep on coming through. That is what you do. Faithful, my God, you have been. You come through time and time again. You never let me fall, and you will not fail. And you said you'd be there till the end. 'Cause that is what you do. Keep on coming through. That is what you do. You keep on coming through. That is what you do. You keep on coming through. That is what you do. As I sing your praise, let worry fade and all my hopes restored. Let my memories remind me of what you did before. As I sing your praise, let worry fade.
God, I thank you that when we sing your praise, the worry fades. And that's my prayer for us this morning. That we would sing your praise, that we would put our thoughts on you, recognizing that that is the antidote, that is the cure to our worry. You are offering that to us freely. And so as we go from this place today, may we rest in that. May we rest in your power and your truth. God, and may the worry of our lives fade. The deeper and deeper we trust you and seek you, may they just fade more and more. Jesus, I love you. I'm so thankful for how you have transformed my life and are continuing to transform it. God, I pray for this community and this family, for all those watching or listening online. God, that you would do a work in us. Change us. Be the guard of our heart in the day-to-day struggle and the day-to-day challenges of this life, the temptations that we are drawn to. God, we want you. We want you, nothing else. More of you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week, hopefully.